ready?
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
You all know exactly who I am.
ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final hour of the show. It's 60 minutes on the clock. We take you till 4 on The Usual Suspects. The Blitz picks it up from there, takes you all the way to 7. What a better way to, there is no better way to start your weekend the right way than right here on ESPN 97.5.
That's right.
Fred's in the building. AJ's in the building. I believe Tyler is once again filling in for Aaron. I wasn't aware that Aaron was out yesterday. Tyler filled in.
Giants Bane said, I'm not sure what you're listening to, but dudes ain't rapping about their penises.
You're delusional.
They've mentioned their penises all the time. Dude, what are you talking about?
If anyone on social media says they didn't, then that is fact.
I don't understand sometimes people don't pay attention.
Anyways. Here's what I don't understand either.
I'm looking forward to the weekend.
Me too. Last night, there were a lot of bitter Kool-Aid-drinking Rockets fans, and I just don't get it. They're mad at Daryl Morey, and we've already given him his props, because whether the move works out or not, it was a big splash deal that the organization sorely needed, and it solved and put an end to whatever conflict there was between Chris Paul and James Harden. And as you said, there's a good possibility that they are better off because of it, because Westbrook, it is his age and his numbers is better. People lost their mind because Daryl lied to them. Daryl's like a politician. No one, just because he talks, no one has to believe a word he says. The problem with Rockets fans is that they buy into every bated breath word that comes out of that man's mouth. So when we even kidded around and said at the NBA awards ceremony, he said he kept his starting five intact and they should be the favorites to win the West. They're going to add at least one quality free agent and they should be. There should be no talk about Chris and James. And the fact that he said Chris was never going to be, he wasn't going to be traded, he wasn't going anywhere, all these different things. But guess what? 2 days later, he tried to trade 3/5 of his starting lineup to try and get Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. That should have been your first clue. The bottom line is, he doesn't have to be honest with you, and he doesn't owe you anything other than the fact that at certain times, they do have to talk. He loves to talk, so he's going to schedule interviews so he can talk. But what comes out of his mouth should not be set in stone and put on a pillar somewhere to believe that in Daryl said we trust. Don't trust it. You can't trust it because a lot of times, why would I go out and say if I'm the general manager of a team, hell yeah, my two best players are fighting, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Because now the value just went way down on any move I'm trying to make.
Why would you come out and, oh, no, we're not the team to beat in the West. We suck. Like, no, none of that. You're going to say what you think the public needs and wants to hear.
Absolutely.
I think every time. I don't think you say you're going to trade Chris Paul because you obviously could hurt his feelings. I think what happened was he was very adamant about it. He's like, Chris Paul will 100% be a Houston Rocket next season. And I think that's what you got to – I'm not blaming him. General managers, that's their job. But you start staying – you start making guarantees – when you clearly know the situation is not all there between Chris Paul and James Harden, I think that's what happened. And you can't say what happened. I felt like maybe at that time that a possible trade for Chris Paul wasn't really a possibility. But then when Westbrook became a possibility, all of a sudden, Chris Paul is trade-worthy. So,
yeah, I think using phrases like 100% might be where the sticking point is.
And I'm not even blaming him for using it because GMs are supposed to lie.
I didn't hear him say 100%, but he basically went out on several different national and local shows and said, we are not trading Chris Paul. Chris Paul is going to be a member of this team next season and going forward and all those kind of things. But again, the main thing behind this is he's trying to benefit his franchise. He needs to keep the value at a very high level because even if he can't recoup all the years and the contract dollars for Paul, he needs to try and get something back in return. And when you read between the lines, that's why Chris Paul always said, I never asked to be traded. But he and his agent know enough people in the basketball industry that have probably tipped them off early on saying, hey, Daryl's calling people to see what he can get for you. So then Chris Paul could come out and say, well, it wasn't me. I didn't want to leave. But if you're going to sit there and try and throw my name into trade talks, then maybe we got something to talk about.
I will say this. I was a tad bit surprised that I know it's a little different in the NBA than most places, but because you have to, I think, have been with the team for like 4 years or whatever. Little surprising that a guy like Chris Paul wouldn't have a no trade clause or specific places that he wouldn't go. But that's a very different realm in the NBA. Like, there are certain parameters of your time with a team that come into account. And I think you have to have been with a team for 4 years.
No, it's
and have so many years of service in the NBA in order to have a no trade clause baked in.
It's your agent too that really you get a situation like a guy like a Russ. I would be surprised Russ didn't have one because he was 11 years with the same team.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You have to have at least been.
And I don't know if
Paul wasn't with the Rockets for 4 years. I know. So when he got a deal, it wasn't going to have a no trade clause. But that surprised.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that there, but 10 year, I get it. But at the same time, because I was going to say Chris didn't have that either, but at the same time, even then, the agent has to really push for it because they don't want to be in a situation. It's not automatic. Believe me, it's not. There's no the no trades are really pushed for and stressed by an agent that says, hey, if this guy's going to make this commitment, we don't need you to to start screwing around and all of a sudden one day, my guy's an asset and he wanted to stay and he committed to you for less money and you dumped him.
I'm not saying it is automatic. I'm saying you have to meet a minimum requirement and he didn't. But I would feel like if he had met it, he would have a no trade clause.
Yeah. Okay.
So it was just it's just weird when you see a superstar like Chris Paul and he can just be traded like that with no consultation and, hey, you're going to go to this place that's rebuilding now and that might be the end of your career. You're just going to wither away in obscurity in the middle of Oklahoma.
And while we're talking about Daryl and his love of a microphone and all the things that he says that the fans get upset about because he's not being truthful to them like he owes them something. The other thing is, stop saying you don't like treating your – you don't want to call your players assets and you don't feel that way because the bottom line is you treat them like assets and you feel that way because the fact of the matter is you – went out and had this franchise-changing deal with Chris Paul. And when the bigger, better deal came along, you moved your assets to potentially upgrade your team. So it's not a bad thing, but just don't run from it anymore. Just own it and go, you know what? It's a business. And in business, it's all about your assets and moving assets and improving the business. And that's the way you do it. Forever and a day, he fought it. It drove Chandler Parsons and Dwight Howard and those guys nuts because they said there was no loyalty and you weren't treated the right way. I'm sure while Chris was here, he was treated just fine. But when Daryl found a way to upgrade his team, and if James pushed
for... But isn't that everybody?
But that's what I'm saying. But most other general managers, they're just going to go, yeah, I mean, we're going to do a deal. Daryl's always like, no, I don't like to call any players assets or draft picks. I don't like to deal because they're players with human beings with lives. Well, you don't treat them like that.
But what manager does? Any GM in the league would have traded Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook. Any GM makes that move. So it's not that he looked at Chris Paul as an asset or didn't. He just looked at a way to improve his team because Chris Paul fell off.
There's just, and I've read the quotes of other people that have talked to several individuals in the NBA, both from a general manager standpoint, agent standpoint, player standpoint, that they feel that it's a point of contention.
So you're saying he should just own it and be like, well, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look,
GMs don't do that.
You can't do that. And it's not Daryl Morey bringing it up either. Let's be real. It's the players and other people and the media
that say
Daryl Morey treats players as assets. So what is he going to do? He's going to have to come out and defend himself. He's not going to be like, yep, they're all just stock to me. It's whatever. He's going to be like, nah, they're people. And I try to take that into account. He's got to say, like you just got through saying, he's a politician. He's got to say what people want to hear. People don't want to hear that he doesn't care about players, that they're all assets.
No, I don't necessarily disagree that with Joel when he said, if he calls him a politician, I just don't know if that in particular makes him a politician. I think that makes him a general manager. And I think general managers
do that.
That's
what I was trying to get across to the fans last night. They were tweeting me going, look, I know you feel like because you're so close to this team that he owes you honest responses. But the bottom line is to do his job, you should never trust a general manager and for that matter, an owner and or a coach in a lot of ways because coaches aren't giving up game plans. They're not going to tell you injury reports and be honest like we see across sports. And general managers are not going to devalue their assets and their players when they are trying to make a move.
But you're kind of contradicting yourself if you say he's going to tell you what he's supposed to tell you, kind of politician-like, but then you can't tell him, well, you got to own it and just admit you treat him like assets. You can't. But that's Barry, not fair. Basically telling Sam him Presti, to do two different things.
I mean, he goes to draft picks, too, because Sam Presti just, and everybody's giving him credit, for getting a whole stockpile of assets for the future.
But those are draft picks, not people. Those are just picks right now, so they are assets.
There were some people, too, because there was Gallinari, there was Gilchrist Alexander.
Right.
There were players involved.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. So I'm just saying, look, don't talk about it. Just don't talk about it.
But I don't think Daryl Morey is the one that brings it up, Joel. I think other people, like Barry, you and me, bringing it up on this show. I think that the Twitter and the stuff that comes up and the players, and I don't think Daryl Morey's out there like, hey, y'all, make sure you mention that I treat players like assets. I don't think he's doing that.
I think the track record shows it, though, and I think that's a bigger issue. So then just don't then just don't talk about it at all, because the fact of the matter is that you've gotten a lot of people's ire in the industry of basketball because of the fact that
look, you think he just brings it up on his own? Or you think that guys like Nick will be in the locker room and be like, hey, do you know the people are saying you treat players like assets? Is that true? Otherwise, I don't think he would ever address it. I don't think he would bring it up.
But with draft picks, when he's been asked, hey, did you stockpile a lot of assets in this deal? And he'd be like, I don't like to refer to these moves as obtaining assets. Well, they are. It's a business. So I'm not saying go out and just – I get it, because you're right. You do have to sell it as – you know, we treat our players like family and, you know, part of the, a fragment of the organization and all these other things. I get that. But just don't, I would say talk about it less than, because of the fact that he always tries to make a point to say he runs from it. And I don't know if that's the case.
Somebody had a question on the text line. With all the moves that the Rockets are making, would you be okay with them trading Capella to try and free up some money and add more help?
No.
It depends.
Counterintuitive.
Nick wouldn't, because he loves him.
I know the reason why and we talked about this before. Remember, I wasn't willing to trade him. Then I was, but how much
money? Make up your mind.
But how much money are you going to free up? The $14 million. What are you going to get for that? You may get a good equal player, but you may not.
That's what I was going to say. It depends on what you get back in return, and can he play the system better offensively than what Capella does, and still give you a good portion of what he does defensively? Because you know the record when he was on the court with Chris and with James, and you know that he fits the system very well. And a deal that at one point we said, yikes, because you were bidding against yourself and you gave him a lot of money that I'm not sure he would have gotten anywhere else. But now, because of the inflated ways that all these salaries have gotten to, he's actually kind of a bargain.
Yeah, and he's still only 25. Yeah. I mean, you got him through the prime of his career. And let's not forget, he had a down year and he kind of struggled in the playoffs a little bit. But remember the year before when the big three didn't lose a game? They were like,
I was like 53-5 or something like that.
On the court, he was an integral part of that. So you're right. Everybody's going to, this isn't Chris Paul where he's falling off and his skills are deteriorating. He just didn't have a good season last year, or comparatively speaking. It looked like he regressed instead of continuing to get better. But I don't know that trading him, like you said, unless you're, are you going to trade him and then now Tyson Chandler's your starting center? No. You're not a better team doing that.
PJ Tucker's your big.
Not a better team doing that.
No, NBA teams are going to have at least taller guys give you more problems.
But with the dynamic that exists, like if the starting lineup was, like if they played today, Eric Gordon's in the starting lineup? I don't think so.
I think he definitely is.
Really? Yeah. At what position? Small four?
Doesn't
but that's
matter.
Just
yeah.
it. There's no longer, I mean, in today's NBA, positions don't exist anymore, really.
So you don't think Daniel House or some of the other younger players are going to start in the small four position?
No. Gordon likes starting.
Starting, no.
His Gordon's a point. He's a guard.
No, he's a guard forward.
He's a shooter.
He can defend.
That's what Gordon is. Gordon's
threes.
A shooter.
No, he also can defend threes well enough. Yeah.
And they absolutely use him to run the offense, too.
The
offense has run through him before.
The second team he used to. Yeah.
You're right. But I still think that he wants to start. He's always wanted to start.
Yep.
Especially Joel's point about a contract year.
Yep, it's important.
This year, more than anything, I think Eric Gordon's going to be a starter. Now, if they add a better shooter, then he may have to come off the bench. You know what I'm saying?
But, Nick, think about this. He's also a starter as long as you have a fortified bench and you don't start the year like you did a year ago. If you get Iguodala along with Tyson Chandler,
Livingston,
along with House and Austin Rivers and guys like that, and Sean Livingston is out there, and I would almost kick the tires on him too for his experience.
I would too.
Because he wants to win. But if you have a strong four or five guys on your bench, that's even more reason to keep Gordon in the starting lineup, because if you want to stress to the two guys that you need to share the ball more, hey, when you do, better things happen. Well, then you better make shots. And Gordon can make shots, especially when he's just standing there waiting to catch and shoot.
Now, the counterpoint is, and like you said, it hinges on the depth of the team. If there is literally no scoring, then I could see a case where you've got to bring him off the bench.
Yeah, because, for the benefit of the team, we're going to need you to come off the pine.
Yeah, because him sitting there watching Russ and Harden put up points would be counterproductive, and I think that's the point you're making, right?
I just don't see where he fits in the starting lineup considering his position, but I'll be interested to see come the season if he's in a starting.
So you got
lineup.
A big in Capella, which you know he's going to block shots and rebound. He doesn't need the ball offensively.
Pick
at your
roll.
Five. You got PJ at the four. You got Gordon at the three. You got Harden at the two.
Yeah.
You got Westbrook at the one, and that's a really solid starting five.
It really is.
I just be interested to see if D'Antoni would rather. And obviously that's going to be a difficult conversation with Eric Gordon because he wants to start.
Yeah,
but I would be interested to see if D'Antoni would consider that or even approach him about
it. But I think to Joel's point, it's going to really depend on how much does he trust his bench to keep a lead. Yeah. Or come from behind, because again, it's almost like you said, it could almost be where Eric Gordon would be wasted if the majority of the points are coming from somebody else while he's on the floor when he could be coming in and continuing that onslaught. So that it's a good point. I just feel like right now that he would be a starter.
And you're also dealing with the two highest usage guys in the last 5 years in the league.
Ooh, good point.
They're not going to sit down a lot.
Yeah.
So where he was needed before to be the backup point guard and the backup ball handler, that's not going to be needed anymore.
Plus you got Rivers to
do
that.
Yep. So there you go. All right, we're going to roll through even more. We've got people that are lining up, possibly want to talk some Rockets, want to do some other things. If you want to reach the show, 713-780-3776, HRNP Lister line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
It's a real chill place to still be working since you were in high school. Always dumb questions, though. I had one lady that was like, excuse me, sir, I hate to be one of those people. Right away, I was like, this bitch does not hate to be one of those people. this bitch loves being one of those people, and she did. She did, because her follow-up question was, I had a few questions about the lettuce. She's like, one, where do you guys get your lettuce from? And two, do you guys wash it? Because I know most places in town nowadays, they're not washing their lettuce. And I was like, f*** that. No, you didn't. And I said that this time. I said it. I was like, no, you didn't. Where did you go that admitted that? What restaurant was just like, oh, did you want to know something? Come over here. Come around to this side of the... Come over by the raw bar where the cold shrimp is. We'll talk. I've got some gift cards in my back pocket.
There you go, Doug Dalton, comedian of the week. Funny on an F, yeah, Friday. Barry gave you the backstory. That was the final clip of the three clips we played at 1:15, 2:15, 3:15. If you missed any of it, ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab. Catch up on the hours that you missed.
Yeah, we've got a show tonight with him. He runs two shows at the Secret Group on Fridays. I think Filth starts at 10:30, and then Late Night in the Box starts at midnight. So I'll be doing the Late Night in the Box tonight at midnight, right in the middle. It's going to be a late night.
Got to get that box when you can.
All right.
So there's that.
At least it's not the back door, which is a comedy club in Dallas. Don't make it dirty. All right? That's ironic, though.
Or the manhole in Chicago.
There's a club called the back door, but you have to work clean.
Dallas.
Yes. So
it's a clean city, man.
Yeah.
Hey.
Clarence wants to get in here on this Rockets talk. Clarence, hour number three is normally when you chime in. Welcome to the show.
What up, guys? Happy FEF Friday.
What's up, man? Happy FEF Friday.
F you both.
Okay, so question. It's obvious that the Rockets are going all in to make it over that hump to get to and win a championship. So if they do not at least get to the finals this year, do you think that D'Antoni is gone?
Yes.
Appreciate the call, Clarence. Do you think it's finals or bust?
No, I just think that they're busting on D'Antoni. I said this. I said Mike D'Antoni's future will be decided by the midseason point, I believe.
But the question is, if they don't make it to the NBA Finals,
D'Antoni may not
gone?
Be there by the time they get into the playoffs.
Assume he does.
Is this finals or bust to you with D'Antoni? If he makes it to the Western Conference Finals and loses to the Clippers or the Lakers or whatever in the Western Conference Finals?
If he gets to the playoffs and they get that far, I would say no.
So, second round goes seven games. I feel like he has a little bit of life in his tenure. Second round, he gets swept. Bye. You know what I mean? It just depends on how they lose.
That's probably right. Yeah, I could see that. I feel like it's probably, because I was going to say, it's probably Western Conference Finals, anything less than that.
I will say this, as a fan, Finals. I would be upset anything short of a Finals.
Here's the catch, though.
Both those teams in L.A.?
Here's the thing. Yeah, that's part of the problem.
That's true.
If they start off with issue, if this is the chemistry is bad, kind of like last year. But they, I mean, what were they? They were
the 13th seed in the West.
Yeah, out of the 14. Yeah. And it was awful. And if they have that start because of the chemistry, and then they turn it around and they get to the Western Conference Finals, I think that's a different story. But if they're going great and they're just beating everybody, and they're just, oh man, look at that, they won 2 out of 3 versus the Lakers or whatever, and then they crap the bed in the playoffs and don't get to the Western Conference Finals at least, then I think he's gone.
I think that's a really good point, because I think Tillman, for this particular owner, is done with great regular seasons, and that's kind of been the knock. Joel, you've been kind of a big, you've always voiced your opinion in that regard, and I think that's the big deal. I don't think they want a great regular season. If that was the case, Mike D'Antoni might have a contract extension, because obviously they didn't believe he deserved an extension despite the 65-win season. So
I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's right. But that's why I'm saying I think that they will have either closed the door on D'Antoni by maybe the mid-season mark, or he should already have the extension in place, because this is now a work in progress where you know the pieces you're dealing with. You got Russ, you know how for how long. You've got James, and you know for how long. Aside from these guys that are going to sign the one-year minimum deals, the only guy you got to worry about now is Eric Gordon. So with all that being said, and a lot of that kind of stuff up in the air, I would say that they will know by midseason if D'Antoni's going to be the coach going forward or not, simply because he has to tweak this offense to try and assist these two guys who have got to adjust their games.
Okay. I mean, did you want me to?
I always do.
Well, no. I mean, you know.
So that's why I
made
my
point. You made your point.
Yeah, that's why I don't know that he makes it to the. I think they'll decide before they get near the playoffs.
You think midseason they handle it?
Yeah, because remember Tillman said, when they were trying, he was trying to say, like, that they tried to give him an extension. Well, they tried to give him an extension with an out that said that anytime in the final year of this deal for this next season, they could pull the plug with no financial ramifications. That means they're not feeling overly confident.
I did have one point I wanted to make, and then I forgot it. So,
well, why'd you do that?
I don't know. I was listening. I was trying to intently listen to you guys.
Hey, let's try and remember it during the break. We've got a half hour to go on the show when we come back, so don't go anywhere. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7 on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you got the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5, Barry, Nick, Joel, F Yeah Friday, taking you till 4, Blitz takes you till 7. You remembered
it. I remembered the point when we were discussing stuff in the break, because you had mentioned the fact that, or maybe it was Nick, you said Tillman was no longer about winning the regular season.
Nick said it.
This is all about the off or the postseason. Well, great. You went out and got a guy that's great at winning in the regular season and not very good at winning in the postseason in Russell Westbrook. So while you, I mean, obviously MVP and all that, you added a star, yes, 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 but not a proven track record in the playoffs for Westbrook. Tends to disappear a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, outside the one time, like, you know, had they, I'm a believer, and I'm not trying to just be combative. I'm a believer if Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook were not at odds, that the following year, maybe they wouldn't win a championship, but I think there was a big possibility. That was a really good team at that time. But outside that one stint, I would have to agree with you. I don't know necessarily feel like Russell Westbrook had a ton of success in the postseason. So, yeah, I tend to agree with you.
Yeah, I'm with you, Nick. I love that team, whether they still had Ibaka and Harden or not. I love that Thunder team with Russ and Westbrook and the pieces that they had. They had Golden State on the ropes. They were up 3-1. I thought that they were destined to win it, but the fact of the matter was those two guys just could not get along, and it just eroded to the point where it deteriorated beyond any salvageable team, and they all moved on. But the thing is, everybody's saying because Sam Presti owned this, that the run was over. The success of the regular season and at least right. make all those things is over. That because he owned it and he was able to stockpile so many picks, I don't want to call them assets, that he saved his job. But when you look at it, just like we say James has to at some point be accountable if you got Dwight Howard and it didn't work, you got Chris Paul and it didn't work, and if you get Westbrook and it doesn't work. When you look at what didn't work in OKC, you had that roster of that much young talent and you lost to the Heat in the finals, and yet you didn't bounce right back and win it or try to win it for the next couple years, and then you let Harden walk over $4 million.
Yeah.
And then you traded away Serge Ibaka. And then, even if you don't like him, you had Melo on because he was supposed to be a missing piece, and he went away. And now you lose Paul George. And now your best player, the guy that's been there through all 11 years of it, is also shipped out when he was the one consistent, constant guy, just like you say about James. At some point, too, you got to start questioning Westbrook going, can you win the whole thing?
What's weird is you got two similar situations that I, you know, the two constants, right?
Yes.
So one team says, okay, well, I know I'm a constant, but you know what? I'm going to get rid of this other constant because I've tried everything and I can't win with him. And then you got another team that's like, yeah, send us your version of our guy that no one can play with and win with. So it's a weird dynamic when you look at it from that perspective is – one GM was like, well, I'm either going to be gone or he's going to be gone. So I'll make a trade. We'll rebuild. And the other GM's like, yeah, give me your guy that no one could win with. It's weird.
And it's exactly really weird. I had it down yesterday to say it just like that. Just as Barry has pointed out, the two constants for the Rockets through all of this, highs and lows and not winning at all, Daryl and James. The two constants in OKC, mirror images, Presti and Westbrook.
Now half of that duo is with the other duo. Pretty weird.
Now you could actually right all the wrongs and put your place in history, or there's a lot of people got a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah.
Or at least two people.
At least. I saw this thing, and it's not sports related, but I wanted to bring it up because I wanted to see if you guys wanted to do it. Katz's Deli is hosting an orgasm contest. And as part of the anniversary for When Harry Met Sally, do you guys remember this scene in the movie?
I do.
Do you remember this scene, Nicholas? You...
Was it a Katz's Deli or they just... because...
I'm not sure if it actually took place in a Katz's Deli.
Because the real famous... what's the real famous deli in New York?
I don't know.
I forget. We used to go there all the time, but yeah, I think they just did it as a promo, but yeah, Katz is pretty good.
They're having customers come in and do the scene from When Harry Met Sally where they fake the orgasm. So I thought we would do that and just see who has the best fake orgasm.
I'm not participating.
I think that might be one of those deals that you set up between you and the interns.
Yeah, I like
when
that.
You do all those intern Olympic things.
I thought about that, and then I was like, no, that's not as fun. I think
fun for Nick and I because we're going to put it all on you. It's going to be your idea, and then we're going to call Laura.
I'll start a poll, and maybe we'll do it on Monday, but I think the people would want to hear your fake orgasm.
And I think that's something that they will have to want and long for a long time.
Would you participate?
I would totally do it.
You liar.
I would totally do it.
Joel, would you?
No.
Oh, yeah. He's scared. He just said yeah.
That wasn't me. That was Barry.
Oh,
Barry. Sounded just like Barry.
No, that wasn't me at all. That was you.
I got to turn his mic off.
Yeah, right. You have to totally do that. Hey, Joel, would you participate in a fake orgasm contest, Joel?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Good to know. All right. Now we just got to get Nick on board, and we've got
nope.
a bit.
Nope.
Bitch.
We got Joel to agree. That's all you need. Two people.
I can't believe y'all wouldn't do it. You guys are scared. You're chicken. You got to put yourselves out there. Do this for the listeners. They want to hear our fake orgasm.
I'm going to do it William Shatner style.
They want to hear our... How was William...
Oh, yes. As I moaned with pleasure.
No, you got to really give us...
I don't have to.
You got to give it some gusto.
I don't know what you call it, but that was a rooster.
That sounded like I don't know what a giraffe sounds like, but I feel like if you were to step on the foot of a giraffe, then it might sound like that.
They have hooves.
Whatever.
It's not going to hurt them.
I don't know. But you got to give some passion to it. That's true. Got to put some passion behind it.
Push some passion behind it?
You guys are so scary. You're scary. This would be fun.
I think you organize it with the interns.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Get it on the air.
I should have
audio proof.
I should have asked at a different time.
And Jake Asman will be.
Who is that?
Filling in on the suspects. Oh, wow.
Who is that? Rachel McCord?
Wait a minute. The profile picture looks like Shia LaBeouf. With a wig on. Right.
That ain't right at all.
I said boof.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, well.
There was a story on the Chive for crazy things that drive-thru workers have seen.
Okay.
Did you ever work drive-thru at anything?
No.
You didn't?
No.
I worked drive-thru at...
Shocking. One of your 10,001 jobs.
I was about to say.
What? You've done everything.
Everybody had a job.
How many times have you been fired?
You never had a job in fast food?
I have.
Okay, well then what's the difference?
But we didn't have a drive-thru window. But I'm just saying, every time we say anything about have you ever done anything, you're like, yeah, I used to be a...
Everybody's... Nick, you've never worked at a fast food restaurant?
Never in my life.
You lazy bastard.
His dad owned a company, a business.
I worked for my dad for like
my mom
a decade.
Was a business owner.
Well, why didn't you do what she did?
Because I was 16. I'm not doing real estate at 16.
Okay, Nick was talented and had a skill enough that he could work on cars.
I mean, I guess.
I didn't really have that much of a skill working on cars, but...
You did what you had to do.
I was kind of... I mean, I've been around... I'm comfortable around that situation, but yeah, I was kind of forced
to... Been around her heel too long. He's comfortable.
Comfortable?
Yeah.
Comfortable. Yeah, I worked the drive-thru at Whataburger. For a while. And
is that where you played hockey with the Patties?
Yes. All right. Also
you
the place.
Son of a... You're a part of the problem. You were the reason why this epidemic
is
starting.
Guys, this isn't about me.
I thought they weren't supposed to be frozen at Whataburger.
No, they're definitely... That's Wendy's.
I thought... Wow, Whataburger, really? They don't make them till you order them, but it's not fresh?
I think they're frozen. They were frozen.
Oh, yeah. I'm stunned by that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Wendy's is the ones that doesn't freeze their burgers.
Barry, Rob Palenka says, we view our relationships here with our star players as partnerships.
Oh, was he asked about assets?
Yeah, and he said nothing short of a championship.
Oh, why? Just come out and say it, Rob. These are different stories on the Chive about people that saw... Somebody saw a baby kangaroo in a car in New England, not in Australia. And what? Somebody just rolling around with a baby kangaroo in the car. Somebody said, I once saw a woman roll up to the window, and she must have been a dominatrix because she had a man in the back in a leather outfit and a rubber pig mask on.
What?
Why are you rolling around with that? When I worked at McDonald's, one time a woman pulled up with three monkeys in and ordered an ice cream cone for each of them.
How you legally have three monkeys? Man.
I once had a hearse complete with a coffin pulled through, followed by a family and friends and the cars behind them. They said the guy in the coffin always enjoyed McDonald's, so it was his final wish to visit one more time. I would be like, look, I love you. You're dead. You're not even going to know that we didn't do that. I'm not rolling through the McDonald's drive-thru with your dead ass in a hearse. I'm just not doing that.
Got to get his food before he gets cold.
One time, someone just snorted cocaine right there in front of me. What? That's wild.
That was at 2 a.m.
Then at one time, someone had a duck and a towel in between her boobs. So we know where Tracy Cali was. A giant industrial-sized trash bag full of nachos. It pretty much took up the entire backseat.
Then what do you need the drive-thru for?
I don't know. A woman came through with no passenger side seat. It had been pulled out, and in its place, a giant metal ring with an enormous cockatoo sitting on it.
Mm-mm-mm, not me.
That scare you, Nick, at all? He didn't even hear it, did you?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. All right. It was in our ear. My mother used to work at the drive-thru at Burger King when she was a teenager. She told me that a man used to come through some nights completely naked. Except for black see-through stockings. There's some weird people.
What?
I don't ever remember anything weird like that. But that's some crazy stuff. You do see some weird stuff at the drive-thru, but I don't ever remember anything that wild.
I remember the day that the three of us went to have the remote down in Midtown. We were driving back, And I saw that dude with that big walking cane and just like a G-string on his tennis shoes in the middle of the month. And I was like, what is going on?
Evidently,
the drive-thru window sees a lot more stuff.
Somebody said, I was working a shift at Burger King and a group of girls flashed me for free food. Seemed like a fair trade. Yeah, I'd probably give you free food if you showed them to me. Not gonna lie.
What's your girl that does the donut shop or whatever?
Oh, is it Carly Joe?
Yep.
I don't know her name. Is that Carly Joe?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask, what's the strangest things you guys ever saw working the drive-thru, but you lames didn't have fast food.
No, we were just on.
I mean, I've had strange situations happen to me, but not at a fast food place.
What's the weirdest thing that ever happened to you at your dad's shop?
Well, one common problem we had, we were located in the city of Bel Air, right down the street from Bel Air High School. And if you know that area, it's a really nice area, but surrounding it can get kind of, you know,
shady.
West University is a nice spot,
yes,
but there was this one particular bus station, a Metro bus station that still exists there today, right there on Bel Air Boulevard, right across the station. And full disclosure, this is actually illegal, but I'm assuming I can't get in trouble. You cannot make bathrooms not available to the public if you're a business. You have to have public restrooms. The problem was the Metro bus station people, for whatever reason, let's just say they had a terrible time finding the toilet. And I'm saying number one and number two.
Who misses when they poop?
Yeah, that's
on the floor to the point where my dad struggled to convince employees to clean the restroom. So he had to find a company. And all they do, it's called Swisher. All they do is go around and clean nasty bathrooms at small businesses because we couldn't encourage or how are you going to motivate someone to clean poop off the floor? So one time this guy came, he's like, can I use your restroom? I ain't going to lie. I said no because he looked like a guy that was going to do that.
You look like you poop on the floor, sir. No, thank you.
So he went towards the restroom anyway, and I knew what he was going to do because that's what people do. They just, you know, if it's number one, they'll just urinate on the side of the gas station. And I just wasn't having it that day.
We've
been there.
I followed his ass around the gas station, and I could not anticipate this. He was already pissing right around that corner.
Oh my god!
He was already urinating around that corner.
He had to dump himself. Oh my god, that's classic.
And without missing a beat, he was like,
"He doesn't listen to 90% of what we say." But he not only caught himself, he dumped himself.
You dumbass!
So he was urinating.
Oh,
and I just turned the corner and then he just urinated on my shoe, bro.
What?
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Did you fight that guy?
I absolutely did.
You waited until he put his penis up first.
No,
right?
I didn't. I really did.
You used that against him?
I called
was caught in an arm wrestling match that he didn't want to
He lost.
How the heck that baby's arm beat me?
He got Alex Bregman balls to the face.
I can only imagine what the app people are saying right now.
What on earth? So he peed on your shoe.
Yeah, he was urinating on the brick wall, but I didn't notice or hear him. I was running, and right when
I turned the corner,
he just right on my shoe, bro.
That's pretty disgusting. Did you try to fight the guy, or did you run him off, or what?
I've gotten into a few physical altercations. But
you didn't fight the guy that peed on your shoe?
This is a small business, bro. We have a reputation.
I don't care. Because
people pumping gas.
Reputation,
you can't just fight everybody.
Set. You pee on my shoe, I hit you in the face.
Don't get it twisted. I did have a small reputation of being the owner's son who, you know, could get mad for sure.
Oh, you?
For
the
sure.
Short temper?
Stop.
Yeah, for sure.
No way.
But yeah, you can't just go out and fight everybody.
I mean,
I know there's some Bel Air PD cops right now. If they heard this, they would be laughing their ass off because a couple of them used to make fun of me about it. But
about fighting homeless people?
Well,
you
like,
seem like the kind of guy that would fight a homeless man. Like,
Nick, you gotta...
I would agree with that.
Yeah. I hate the both of you.
Yep.
But yeah, but that's one of the weirdest things. There's been more weird things that's happened there too. But
I can't tell my weird story because it was way bigger of a violation of the law than yours. So
on that note, we've got one segment to go on the show, we'll wrap it up and turn it over to the Blitz next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through. Final segment of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an FEA Friday, wrapping up another good week here on the show. Hope you all are ready for a big weekend, and you do whatever you want to do to relax and have some fun. We were talking a little bit about drive-through experiences, as Barry has experienced. And Terry wants to get in here on a Whataburger experience. Terry, what's up?
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yes.
So I was working at Whataburger, and I was in the drive-thru. It was late at night. This little drunk chick, she came through the window, and she was just in a bathing suit, so pretty much just like her panties and underwear. She had a blow-up doll in the passenger seat. And I say something, so I lean down. I go, hey, I like your friend there. She goes, yeah, he's all right. Just like it was an everyday thing, you know, no problem. But, hey, Barry, by the way, that meat is not frozen, man. They keep it in a partial frozen state, but it's not like it's in the freezer.
Well, thank God you defended that, Terry. That's way to take a stand, bud. It's partially frozen.
Dude, you can't freeze your meat.
So Terry's going to argue with me about it being partially frozen as to not completely frozen.
Damn right.
It's still frozen enough to play hockey with it. It's the
Terry's the meat police.
Yeah, apparently so. Terry takes his meat serious.
Guess so.
I did think of one story that I could tell on air that still involved fast food and a crime. A friend of mine, well, not a good friend of mine, but a guy that lived in my neighborhood that we all knew in high school, his name is Charles.
Okay.
Charles worked at McDonald's. Now, Charles was about 5'3", and he had a bad eye. So not necessarily, I mean, it wasn't like cockeyed, but it was like cross-eyed, you know, like a little, maybe more gotcha-eyed than cross.
Like, but he could stare two people down at the same time?
Yeah, you know, he had a little gotcha eye, and he talked like this. We called him Popeye, because the eye was kind of squinted, and, hey, what's up, y'all? So Charles, 5'3", one-eyed, Popeye voice Charles, is working at McDonald's. He leaves work. He clocks out. He goes home. He puts on some Robin clothes and goes back and robs the McDonald's that he works at. And they're like, Charles, what are you doing? Get out of the money. They're like, bro, we know it's you, Charles. They call the cop. He gets arrested. I don't know how they knew. You're 5'3" with one eye, and you're talking like this. Of course they know. As soon as you give me all the money, they're like, Charles, bro, what are you doing? Give me all the money. And you're 5'3". You shouldn't. You need more than just one little pistol. You're gonna be like Bagel Bite guy and get took out there in them streets, bro.
Seriously,
it's crazy.
But yeah, when you've got something like that, like there's the guy that's, and they always have him on the news, but he's notorious because he has 713 tattooed on his forehead. And he's been arrested like 13 to 20 times. Gee, I don't know how they knew it was you. No matter what you do, you have your area code on your face.
It's pretty bad.
What the hell's wrong with you?
It'd be great if he had his whole number on there.
Pull the Mike Jones on that?
If there was ever anyone that needed the ski mask, even in Houston in the summer.
Cover it.
You gotta, wear the LeBron headband. Do something, but don't put the area code on your dome.
Yeah, that's not very smart.
Jeez.
People with face tattoos probably shouldn't commit crimes. This makes it pretty obvious.
Super prevalent, though.
Oh,
at least these days.
Yeah.
Are you stereotyping people with face tattoos?
I think there's... No, I'm just saying it's prevalent to get a face tattoo. It doesn't necessarily mean you're a criminal.
I thought you meant it's prevalent that people with face tattoos
commit crimes.
I think that's what you said.
No, I did. Nope.
Now, because if you did, I was going to agree with you.
It was pretty, pretty close.
I mean, when you see a guy or gal on the news, and they have face tattoos, and they're wanted, or they're busted. Is there anybody that goes, really?
It's pretty true.
What? No way.
Pretty true.
Or is it every time you're like, yep, that looks like that person would have done that crime?
Yeah.
I mean, just, it's okay if you admit it.
I mean, you know, maybe not everybody who decides to get a face tattoo initially thought they would become criminals. Maybe they got the tattoo and they get put in a corner. Time is tough. Now I'm a criminal with a face tattoo. You never know.
I just think even Mike Tyson started the whole trend, and I just think that it's a bad idea. I don't know.
Wow,
you know,
way to go out on a limb.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, it's like that commercial where the lady says, oh, ankle tattoo. You don't work on that commercial. It's like, if you ever want, like, a job where you are interacting with people on a daily basis, I don't think a tattoo is a good idea on your face.
Yeah, or neck, for that matter.
Yeah.
Dr. Dre, 290 Texas Show, he said, wait, was Charles Black? If so, I think I'd know that guy. Yeah, Charles was Black. You probably, if you went to Jersey Village, and I know you did, Dre, you probably knew Charles. Old Popeye.
Wow.
Stupid ass. I had one friend get kicked out of the military because he hit his drill instructor with his boot. He started beating him with it.
Well, that's a bad idea.
He got in his face and started yelling at him. I think he called him the N-word. And then when he turned to walk off, he just undid his boot, walked up behind him, right in the back of the head with the boot, and started beating him with it. They were like, nope, can't do that in the army, buddy. You're out.
Really? Oh, it's yeah. Better than in fact that they, I would have thought that they'd have just stuck him on latrine cleaning duty for 6 months.
Dishonorable discharge. I think he did time. It was bad.
Wow.
Yeah, I had some cool friends. Had some real
criminal ass, yeah, really.
Real smart guys hung out with.
Solid people.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I forget his name. Was it Jamel? I think it was Jamel. Like, what happened to Jamel? He went to the army. Not no more. He's not in the army. He's in the army jail.
He went to jail.
Oh, yeah. Good times.
Wow. All right. Well, that'll about do it for us for another splendid week of The Usual Suspects. And we can't do what we do without you. And we appreciate you guys keeping a close listen and interacting with the show. So we hope you have a great weekend. And for Barry and Nick, I'm Joel. We're going to talk to you again on Monday right here on ESPN 97.5.